Good morning. Please, if you have your Bibles here, please kindly turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. Luke 1, 26 to 56. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to read and understand your word. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit himself will be here to give us a fresh understanding of Jesus Christ, who came on that first Christmas day. We pray, Lord, that there will be something for each one of us to take away from here today, something that will change our lives, something that will bring us closer to you. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. One of the memorable visits I made outside Nigeria was the very first time I visited Kenya in August 1973. During my primary and secondary school days, I learned some basic things about Kenya, especially the independence struggles of their leaders, such as Jomo Kenyatta, Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, rather musical sounding name, I thought, and Tom Mboya. However, after meeting a very special Kenyan lady called Jane Achieng during my student days in Manchester University, my interest in Kenya grew very, very rapidly. We fell in love, and following God's guidance, we got engaged in December 1972 in The Hague, in the Netherlands. Now, one of the necessary steps before our wedding was that I had to visit Kenya to meet her relatives, especially her parents and siblings. I had seen a lot of them in photographs, so I was really, really looking forward to meeting them in person. I prepared very carefully for that visit. I went to the shops to make sure that I bought some nice clothes. I wanted to be well-dressed for my future in-laws. And I also had a little booklet or a little notebook where I wrote some well-known Swahili phrases in case I needed to at least say a few words in Swahili. But Jane is also from the Luo tribe, so I consulted her and I made sure I wrote some Luo words and phrases so that when we went to the village, I would be able to say a few Luo words to impress my future in-laws. But I want to tell you, I was not being hypocritical. But I wanted them to get a very good impression of their future in-law. And indeed, the visit went very well. I was very warmly welcomed. And I was given a lot of special treatment, very good food, I must say. And to cut a long story short, after the visit, I left Kenya with Jane, and we went to Lagos and got married on August 25th, 1973. That visit is still very, very fresh in my mind. But the title of this message is about a visit, but a very, very special visit. The title of the message is An Extraordinary Visit. An Extraordinary Visit. And it's based on the visit Mary made to her relative, Elizabeth. And I would like to focus on 3 points. The first one is a visit confirming God's word. Secondly, a visit involving the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, a visit leading to the Magnificat. Let's look at these points in detail. The first one, a visit confirming God's word. When the angel of the Lord revealed to Mary that she would be the mother of Jesus, she asked a very important question in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. How will this be, since I am a virgin? Now, part of the answer given to Mary by the angel in Luke 1:36 was that her relative Elizabeth, who was considered barren, was 6 months pregnant. Note that Mary was a descendant of King David, who was from the tribe of Judah. Whereas in Luke chapter 1 verse 5, it is clearly stated that Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi because she was a descendant of Aaron. So how could Elizabeth be related to Mary? They were from two different tribes. One possible explanation had to do with the land allocations to the tribes of Israel after the conquest of the Promised Land. According to the directives we read in Numbers 36, ladies were not allowed to marry from other tribes in Israel to ensure that their land allocations were retained within their own tribes. However, since the Levites had no land allocated to them, there was an exception. This marriage restriction did not apply to them. The Levite women were therefore free to marry from any Israelite tribe. Based on this analysis, it is reasonable to assume that Mary and Elizabeth were related through Mary's mother, who would have been a descendant of Aaron. Remember that Mary was from, had her own, let's say, descendancy linked to David because it's from the father's side. But the mother's side could easily have been from the tribe of Levi. Now, the great news that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant prompted Mary to hurriedly travel to the hill country of Judah to visit Elizabeth. Now, I'm sure that if somebody is 6 months pregnant, you would definitely know. There has to be a physical change. The belly would be big. Therefore, when the angel said she was already 6 months pregnant, Mary was going to see whether this was true or whether this was false. And of course, we thank God that when Mary met Elizabeth, she was indeed pregnant. Elizabeth was pregnant. And there was a lot of joy in the heart of Mary. And it was a great thing to see that the word of God was confirmed by seeing Elizabeth being pregnant. This confirmation also is an encouragement to us that God's word is true, that God's prophecies are true. If God says it, it will be done. And it's also a confirmation of Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Somebody who was called barren was pregnant at a very, very old age. Remember, there was no IVF treatment in those days. This was purely God's own mighty intervention. I would like to remind us also of a few other promises that God made concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, Genesis 12, verse 3, God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then the verse that Pastor Ian read earlier on, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then Micah chapter 5 verse 2, a very important prophecy, a very specific prophecy as well. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Now, during the Roman times, there were two places in Israel called Bethlehem. One was in Judah, and one was in Galilee. This particular prophecy specified that Jesus would come from Bethlehem in Ephrathah in Judah. So very, very specific. All these prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem Ephrathah in Judah. Therefore, as we celebrate Christmas, it is my prayer that we will realize afresh that our God is faithful and he keeps all his promises, but in his appointed time. Furthermore, I would like to ask you this morning, are you facing problems that seem impossible to solve? Are you discouraged by those problems? Has 2019 been a barren year for you? If so, be encouraged by the life of Elizabeth, who was called barren, but became a mother, contrary to all human calculations. I encourage you to faithfully confront your problems also with the words of Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. What problem are you facing this morning? Recall them in your mind. Bring them before the Lord and ask yourself, is it impossible for God to solve? Is it impossible? His word says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. The other thing we need to bear in mind is in Isaiah 7:14, Jesus Christ is mentioned there as our Emmanuel, God with us. He came down from heaven to share humanity with us. But he is also alive today. And he is with us in all our problems. He will not abandon us. So as you enjoy the Christmas festivities with family and friends, let us not forget to spend quality time reflecting on the God of the impossible and Jesus, our Emmanuel. May God bless and strengthen us as we continue to trust him in difficult circumstances that come our way. The second point I want to quickly look at is a visit involving the Holy Spirit. One of the things we notice about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is the involvement of the Holy Spirit. First of all, his conception was made possible through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Elizabeth exclaimed in a loud voice, as we read in Luke 1:42 to 43, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Holy Spirit had revealed something profound to Elizabeth concerning Mary and the baby in her womb, in Mary's womb. That baby would in fact be Elizabeth's Lord. Elizabeth's Lord, her master, and the long-awaited Messiah. Thirdly, in Luke 1:44, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy on hearing Mary's voice. As we know, John the Baptizer, that was the baby in Elizabeth's womb, was the one chosen by God to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John's joy in the womb was probably due to an amazing recognition that Mary's baby would be Jesus Christ. Such profound revelation must have come from the Holy Spirit. And this view is supported by what we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 15. It's very clear there. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. This referring to John the Baptizer. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So while John the Baptizer was in the womb, he was already filled with the Spirit and recognized that the baby in Mary's womb would be Jesus Christ. We can infer from the experiences of Elizabeth and baby John that if you want to know Jesus Christ, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way around it. We cannot, through our intellectual minds, really perceive, understand these deep things about God. It is the Holy Spirit that will reveal it to you and I. Therefore, during the festive season, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will open the spiritual eyes of many people so that they will recognize the true meaning of Christmas, so that they will recognize that the baby in the manger is actually the special one, the one that has been sent to save us from all our sins. Now, over the past 2 weeks, there have been a number of talking points in our conversations with family, with friends, and colleagues in the office. We have chatted about getting Brexit done and the landslide victory of the Conservative Party during election on 12 December certainly was much talked about. We have also chatted about events across the pond in the USA, especially the impeachment of a certain president, President Donald Trump. Furthermore, we probably said a few words about the uncontrollable, devastating fires raging down under in Australia. Of course, we have chatted about Christmas cards. We have chatted about Christmas shopping, including what size of turkey to buy. I was involved in this a few days ago. However, I wonder how many of us have recently chatted with anybody at all about the true meaning of Christmas. While the Great Commission given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ is an everyday assignment, Christmas time presents us with a good opportunity to chat about Jesus Christ with our family members, with our colleagues in the office, and with our friends. Please do not let the opportunity pass you by. The last point I want to look at quickly is a visit leading to the Magnificat. The passage we read in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55 is called Mary's Song or the Magnificat. Actually, the name Magnificat is the first word of the Latin translation of Mary's song. The song clearly shows Mary's humility and her appreciation of God's power and his favor in choosing her to be the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Magnificat deserves a sermon in its own right, but I will just comment briefly on one of the verses of the song, and that is Luke chapter 1, verse 50. And it states, "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Zondervan Compact Dictionary defines mercy in two ways. One, mercy is forbearance from inflicting punishment upon an adversary or a lawbreaker. Secondly, mercy is compassion which causes one to help the weak, the sick, or the poor. What is very clear from these definitions of mercy is that God has demonstrated his love and mercy towards us in Jesus Christ. We are all lawbreakers and deserve God's punishment. However, in his love and mercy, he sent Jesus to the cross to take all the punishment that should be ours, thereby securing our forgiveness. One of the amazing truths about the incarnation of Jesus Christ is that by becoming a man like us, he was able to experience in reality what we experience, but he did so without sinning. In that way, he was in an excellent position to empathize with us and help us deal with whatever struggles we may have in this world. There is an interesting TV series called Undercover Boss. Undercover Boss, which was created by someone called Stephen Lambert and started showing on Channel 4 in 2009. I have watched a few of these, of the episodes, and it's quite interesting. In each episode, a senior company executive from the head office, usually, disguises himself or herself and works in various locations of the company, sometimes working as a trainee, you know, like someone just learning something in the office. And the disguise can sometimes be quite good, although some of them might be suspect, but generally quite good. Now, through working undercover with various staff members, the senior company executive identifies root causes of some problems facing the company and facing the individuals. During interactions with the staff, the senior executives get some more details about what is going on in the individual lives of the staff. And after reporting back to the head office, to the company board of directors, an action plan is put in place to solve the problems and thereby improving the productivity of the company. As I reflected on the Christmas story, it was clear to me that our Lord Jesus Christ did infinitely better than the undercover boss. Infinitely better. our heavenly boss, Jesus Christ, in order to help us, instead of just pretending to be one of us, he actually came down and became like one of us in reality. He took up human flesh and went through the normal day-to-day life, went through all the temptations that we go through, but he did that without sinning. And so he really understands what you and I go through on a daily basis. It's incredible when you think about it. He is God. As God, he knows everything about us. And yet he took the trouble to come into human body, to experience what we experience, to be with us, and therefore be in an excellent position to help you and I. And this point was captured beautifully in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. See then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a great encouragement to know that in Christ we have all the help we need. I am sure that some of us would have filled some forms with many boxes. You are asked to tick this box, tick that box, tick the ones that apply to you. I have done that, especially when you go for medical tests. There are always those boxes. Or maybe you are filling insurance form. There are all those boxes. Well, in our minds, let us tick all the boxes indicating areas when we want Jesus Christ to help us this Christmas. Let's not tick those boxes in our minds. Well, here we go. Box number one, mercy. Yes, it's ticked. Forgiveness. Yes, it's ticked. Healing. Yes, it is ticked. Perseverance. I said perseverance. We all need it. Yes, it is ticked. Strength. Strength. I'm sometimes weak. I need his strength. Yes, I tick that box. Encouragement. Are you down today? You are not out. Encouragement. Yes, I tick that box as well. Protection. Yes. And then there is an eighth box. It's a big box. I call it et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I take it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the best position to help us. So as we celebrate Christmas, let us thank God for the great mercy that he has shown to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I would like to emphasize two things about Luke chapter 1, verse 50, because there are important aspects we need to bear in mind. Number one, the beneficiaries of his mercy are those who fear him. This refers to those who truly respect, honor, and obey him. Secondly, his mercy does not stop with one generation. It is available from generation to generation. We cannot exhaust God's mercy. Isn't that great? If it stopped in the generation of my parents, I would be lost today. But thank God that it didn't stop. And also, We went to Brighton to look after our grandchildren. And it is comforting, it is encouraging for me to know that God's mercy will be there for their generation as well. Fantastic. We can never exhaust the mercy of our Lord God. But I ask you today, as we prepare for Christmas, have you received the mercy of God? If not, today is another opportunity to do so. If you have received His mercy, are you bold in coming to God on a daily basis? That verse I read said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Are you able to come boldly to God today? You know, sin can prevent us from having that boldness. It's very obvious. When a child has done something wrong, when the father walks in, that child might want to go and hide somewhere. That child has lost a boldness in meeting daddy. Are you like that today? Is there something in your life, something that is preventing you from being bold before God? Well, if so, Jesus can take away that sin, and you can indeed enjoy that boldness again. I challenge you to give up anything that might be preventing you from enjoying the mercy of our God. In conclusion, we have considered the subject an extraordinary visit, and we focused on three key points: a visit confirming God's word, a visit involving the Holy Spirit, a visit leading to the Magnificat. As we enjoy our Christmas turkeys, let us remember that we need a gift for Jesus. He needs a gift from you and I. We have bought gifts for many, many people already, but He needs a gift from us. He needs your heart. He needs my heart. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk with Jesus. You can do better. You can give Him more of yourself. So today I ask you, are you prepared to give Jesus all your heart? Am I prepared to give Jesus all my heart? Let us do so without hesitating. And finally, on July 20th, 1969, the first man on the moon, and the American, the late Neil Armstrong, he made the following famous statement as he stepped on the lunar surface. He said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." That historic visit to the moon was broadcast by satellite all over the world. Although Christ's visit to this world did not receive such publicity, it can rightly be stated that His birth in the little town of Bethlehem was and always will be the giant leap for mankind. It is a visit that has given man the opportunity to move from darkness into light. It's a visit that has made it possible for you and I to be reconciled with God. It's a visit that has made it possible for you and I to be called children of the Almighty God. It's a visit that has made it possible for me to be called Prince William. I know I was not born with a silver spoon or golden spoon in my mouth. Mine was a wooden spoon. But through Jesus Christ, I am Prince William. And I can tell you, through Jesus Christ, we have Prince Ian, Prince Paul. We have Princess Marjorie. We have, you know, Princess Anne. They are all in this church because of what Jesus did for us. that giant step that he took in coming to this world. May God help us to catch a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ as we celebrate Christmas. And may God interpret this, what I've been able to share, interpret it to your hearts. I wish you and your families a blessed Christmas. Thank you. Let us pray. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your mercy. That great mercy that you have shown us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve your mercy, Lord. But through your infinite love for us, you have made it possible for us to enjoy your mercy. For it is by grace we are saved through faith, not by works. It is completely, Lord, a gift from you. And we thank you for that gift. Lord, as we give out gifts to various people this Christmas time, help us not to forget to give Jesus a special gift, to give him our hearts. We ask all this in his wonderful name. Amen.